This is Stateside from Michigan Radio. I'm Lester Graham. The concerns about drinking water pipes made of lead has spread from Flint to other Michigan towns and cities. Investigative reporter Lindsay Smith is following that story. She joins us now. You reported a few weeks ago the state proposed sweeping changes to regulations on lead in water. Governor Rick Snyder calls the current regulations dumb and dangerous. What do we know about those proposed changes? What's going on?
Well, the public should be getting these new draft proposals soon. There is a public meeting that's on the DEQ's calendar for November 29th. So if you are really interested in this topic, you can check that out. They will be a little bit different, but I expect some of the big changes are still on the table. You're talking about the level, the action level that is acceptable to have lead in water.
That's the parts per billion of lead in the water.
Correct. And it's right now it's set at 15 parts per billion. The state is talking about lowering that to 10 parts per billion, which would be the toughest standard of any state in the country. So that would be a big change. You're also talking about cities having to replace lead pipes, even if they don't have high lead levels, and sort of some of the technical ways is that cities do that to make sure that they don't make the problems worse. Another big change that is, I mean, it's a small change, but it can make a big difference for water systems in the state with lead lines, and that is this idea of a second draw sample.
A second draw sample, what is that?
Okay, so you've got a sampling technique, right? You've got bottles that you're going to take water and fill them out of your faucet. Right now, the way it's set up, you take your first draw sample. So that's essentially you put the bottle right underneath the faucet, you open up the faucet full blast, and that is the first draw. The thing about the first draw sample is you are only getting the water that has sat in the pipes that are really, really close to the faucet. It's a liter, so it's just not that much water. The main risk, if you have a lead pipe, is actually the water that's out in the road, in the lead pipe. And that is not going to get captured in a first draw sample. So the idea of having a second draw sample, whether it's right after a first, but ideally it's a period of time or a volume of water, that you would take a sample from that and then you would use that to calculate whether or not your system is meeting the action level.
So let me follow you. We've got the big main out in the street.
Yep.
We might have a lead pipe between the big main and the house.
Correct.
And the water that's just kind of sitting there for a few hours is kind of, you know, marinating in this lead pipe.
It's a good way to put it.
Is not going to come out of the tap as soon as we turn it on because we've got all our piping in the house. That has to be kind of flushed out first before that lead-soaked water gets up to the tap. That's what you're saying.
Yes, and research has found that slug of water is where the highest concentration of lead is usually found. And the way the law is written right now, we are totally missing the most dangerous amount in your water when that slug comes through.
So cities that have okay lead levels by EPA standards right now, if they do the second draw, they might actually be in excess of the levels. And then if the governor gets his way and we lower the levels even more, that means a lot of cities could be above the lead levels in the state.
Yeah, this is, if I can put it this way, this is Virginia Tech Mark Edwards. He's been involved with the Flint water crisis, and this is his baby. He would love to see the second draw sample adapted in Michigan because he really feels like this is going to, even if you don't change the 10 parts per billion, even if you don't lower it, it will still expose. If there are any problems, it will give the public that knowledge. There was a 2015 study that was published in an industry journal. It laid out a few scenarios for this second draw sample. There can be a sequential sampling where you take a bunch of samples in a row and you take the highest one and use that. If the study said that if we did that, 70% of water systems in the country could get bumped above that 15 parts per billion.
Wow.
If you do a standard volume instead of just a bunch of samples in a row, but just say after 30 seconds or after a minute, you just do like a period of time or something like that.
But that's going to vary from house to house,
right?
It
is going to, and it lowers the amount of systems. But in that case, just if you did a second sample, 50% of water systems in the country would be a bumped above this action level. So that is why Virginia Tech's Mark Edwards says that there has been pushback to this particular change.
To admit that we've been getting it wrong all these years, it's very hard for institutions to acknowledge that. We were told this problem was going to be fixed 10 years ago. And instead, you know, we keep waiting for these revisions and they never come. And, you know, the very thought that 50, 60, 70% of our biggest cities with lead pipes are suddenly going to have to tell people their water was not meeting the standard that's been in place for 25 years. That's hard for people to do.
So that's what Michigan is considering right now. And if Michigan does that, you know, that potentially is a game changer in some aspects in cities, with certainly with lead lines.
But we're not just playing around with numbers here. I mean, we're talking about what's our true lead levels in our water.
And I mean, I think it's important because, the bottom line is you can play with these numbers all day long. You know, pick your action level, pick your sampling, whatever. If it is my home, I want to know what's the worst case scenario I'm looking at here. And so that, if you can capture that better, at least the public will know about it. You know, right now you just are flushing that, you know, that biggest chunk down the drain.
Okay, so let's just leave the lead levels where they are at the EPA regulation for right now. A lot of the cities might be above that EPA level right now and not get that information from the water system because of the way they sample. So if we're underestimating this risk, especially in these cities in Michigan with lead pipes, how do we protect ourselves from possible lead exposure? What do we do?
This is actually, I learned a lot about this, and I think it is relatively easy to do some simple things to protect yourself and your family. One of the first things you should do, in my opinion, you should know if you have a lead pipe. If you can, right? Go into your basement. NPR has this amazing app. Takes you step by step, bring your phone with you, and it will show you how to, like, walk you through the process of trying to figure out if you have a lead pipe connecting your house or not. I think that's the basic step. If you can't do that, ask your city. Sometimes cities know this, sometimes they don't. Anyone can get a filter. So if you don't know, you can't figure it out, you're not sure, you still feel, like, nervous about it, NSF-rated lead filters will remove 99.9% of lead in your water. So if you can afford a filter, do that, especially vulnerable people. I'm talking about formula-fed infants, pregnant moms, people who are day laborers who drink a ton of water. Those kinds of people are at a higher risk, so you should consider getting a filter if you can. If you can't afford a filter, one of the easiest things you can do is flush your water. What I mean by that really is, if you go on vacation for a week, or you have a sink down in your basement that you only use once a month to hang out with your buddies at the bar downstairs, you know, make sure that you run your tap water first thing in the morning for five minutes. Flush all that water that's been marinating in the lead pipes, right? Get it out of there. Get that out of the drain. And then when you have fresh new water, that lead levels, they always tend to go down after you flush your water for a while.
So about 5 minutes, you say 5-10 minutes, something like that. That might pop your water bill, but that's probably cheaper than putting a filter system in.
It really depends. Those filters can be as cheap as $20-$30. It depends on, you know, you would pay a lot more if you're in Detroit or Flint, where water rates are higher than if you were in the city of Grand Rapids. I did that in Grand Rapids, even though I knew I had a copper pipe once I started reporting on this stuff, because I just felt like that water's sitting out in that copper pipe anyway. I don't know. So part of me every morning when I make my coffee, I run my water as I'm getting the coffee into the filter. And then by the time I, you know, go to the bathroom and get my coffee ready to go, then I have that nice, fresh, new water that's not been sitting in my pipe, no matter what it is.
Before I let you go, you've been working on a new series of reports on lead in water for Michigan Radio. I know some people can't listen to the radio all the time. It's surprising, but it happens. So where can they find those stories?
You can find those stories completely on our website, michiganradio.org, and just search for Ripple Effects of Flint. And you can find today's story is really cool, Lester. Metro Detroit is where most of the lead lines are in Michigan. And we did a great mapping project where we tried to see how far the lead lines sort of went out into the suburbs of Detroit. So you can find a pretty comprehensive interactive map online right now, too.
Good tips. That's Lindsay Smith. She's our investigative reporter, continuing to find out how extensive Michigan's lead in water problem is. Thanks for coming in.
Oh, my pleasure.